All right, thank you very much. And hello again, my dear radio friend. How in the world are you? You doing all right? Well, that little corny greeting establishes the fact that this is indeed your good friend Bob Cook. And we're back together again, you and I. The miles drop away, and we're together again for these precious moments around the Word of God. I love that, don't you? We've been looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, where Peter talks about folk who are living after the laws and the influence of the old sinful nature, which he calls the flesh. Now, for a contrast, we've just turned over to Romans chapter 8, where Paul is talking about people who live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we got as far as verse 13 in chapter 8, the last time we talked together. He said, if ye through the Spirit, now where does he live? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you, verse 11. So if you through the Spirit that dwells in you, verse 13, do mortify, that means put it to death, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That means to say that my natural propensities to sin, the old desires, the old habit patterns, the old compromises, the old disasters that I used to face, I can now trust the blessed Spirit of God not only to rescue me from that, but to enable me to do God's will instead. That's what that talks about. In that connection, after the broadcast finished, I just thought of a story Dr. Ironside used to tell. He told of two sisters who were, they were social butterflies. They were at every party and every dance and everything that was going along. They were beautiful and talented and sought after, and so they were just in everything. Well, there came a time when the two of them were converted, and they gave their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Were saved. Now they knew that their lifestyle had to change because some of the things they were doing were not Christian things. And so what were they going to do about it? Well, they thought about it and asked some folk. And someone pointed out the verse in Colossians where it says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Well, there came the inevitable invitation to something that was questionable from a Christian point of view. And so they said, what are we going to do? Well, they wrote a careful reply, and they said, we're very sorry that we cannot attend because we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. They sent it back. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. What does it mean? You turn your back on the things that are sinful. You turn your back on the things that are wrong. You commit them to your blessed Lord, and he rescues you from them and enables you not only not to do the wrong thing, but also to serve God in the power of the enabling indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and you really live. I insert the word really live. If you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you will really live. Why? Because Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants you to have an overflowing, abundant life, not just the scrapings. So then, now we go on. He says, you've not received, well, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. New leadership. Walking in the Spirit means you get new leadership. What do I do next? Ask God about it. How long has it been since you prayed about a traffic matter or about a parking space or about a decision involving a contract or about a decision involving some personnel matter? Hiring or transferring or whatever it may be, some other human being who was under your care. How long has it been since you've prayed that God would guide you? He says, many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And you could reverse that equation. Those of you who know mathematics, you know if you have an equation, you can reverse the factors of it, and it comes out the same. So you could say, as many as are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. Same thing. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And so The leadership of the blessed Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you into all truth, the Lord Jesus said. The Old Testament promises the Lord shall guide thee continually. And the wisest man said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The path of the Lord, the steps of a good man, said the psalmist, are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Dr. Pettengill used to say, God takes care of your steps, your stops, and your stumbles. And that's very true. You can depend upon the leadership of the blessed, indwelling, Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know there are some people who say, don't bother God with little things. He expects you to use good sense. Well, of course he does. Let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, said Paul in Philippians 4. Use good sense, of course. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men, said Solomon. God is in favor of good sense. He speaks disparagingly of people who are fools, that is, folk who don't learn by experience or by reproof. That's what God calls a fool. God is in favor of learning. God is in favor of good sense. God is in favor of success in business. God is in favor of thrift and frugality. God is in favor of orderliness and authority and all the rest. Yes, he is. The Bible says so. I know that. That's true. So do you. Hallelujah that it is true, right? Having said that, God is a big enough God to be concerned about the minutest detail in your life. Jesus said the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Didn't say counted, said numbered. A separate number assigned to every hair follicle on your head. God is the God of minute details. He cares about little things. He has a plan that involves the small details. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. And you can trust him. You can trust him to guide you about things moment by moment. Step by step, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth ahead, Jesus said. You can trust him to be there ahead of you, to guide you. The Lord shall guide thee, continued. Thine ear shall hear a voice behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. Believe today that God is interested enough in you, not only to give his only Son for your salvation, not only to invest in you the wealth of all the inspired word of God, not only to have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you, as we've just seen from this scripture that we're looking at, but he's also interested enough to guide you every step of the way. And so, as I've often said to the students at the college, as I was president there for nearly a quarter of a century, pray your way through the day. Pray your way through the day. Prayer is God's method of getting things done. And so you consult him about things as you go on, and you'll find, oh, yes, you'll find that he answers prayer about little things as well as the so-called big questions in life. He does lead you. That's part of walking in the Spirit. Would you try one day, one whole day, of whispering a prayer as you go from one task to another, asking God to guide you? Would you try that? You'll be delighted. You don't have to have a long prayer meeting. There's no time to get down on your knees and pray a long prayer. If you start doing that, the boss will call for you, and you'll be in personnel by 11 a.m., and the men in white coats will have you by noon. You know, you can't do that if you're on the job. But you can pray. You can whisper a prayer. It doesn't take but a few seconds to say, Jesus, guide me now. See? Make a habit one whole day of looking heavenward and asking God to guide you every time you take up a new task or a new relationship, every time you answer the phone, every time you open a letter, every time you write one, every time you make a decision, just pray and ask God to guide you. You'd be amazed and delighted at what he will do. New leadership. Then there's a new cry, not of fear, but of family. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is our word Papa, Papa God. See, it's not a fear, it's family. What a difference. I've had the experience, as you have, of coming into meeting a family, father, mother, little child, and it's a new setting, and here I am a stranger, and although I'm smiling and saying hello to the little child, let's say he or she is maybe 2 years old, something like that, I'm strange, I'm a stranger, and so there's a shyness, and there's a backing away, and there's a puckering of the lips almost to cry. And then the little toddler looks toward mother or daddy and runs to the safety of those loving arms, and everything's all right. Oh, we've received not the spirit of fear. We don't have to be afraid. You can run right to the outstretched arms of your loving Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Papa God. You see, when your heart is right with Him, you don't have any fear of His arms. When your heart is right with God, you don't have any fear of His loving arms. Oh, my, how He loves to hold you and assure you of His love. There have been times in my life, I'm sure in many of yours, dear friends, when I just felt I needed God to love me a little. And I've sat or waited or knelt, as the case was, before Him. I said, oh, God, I need You. I just need You. Pour out Your love on me. Tell me again that I'm Yours. And hold me close to Your heart. And as I waited before Him, there came that indescribably sweet awareness of the presence of my wonderful Lord. And I heard again His promises, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, He told me, and I believed Him. And there was that wonderful relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, Papa, God. My heart reaching out to Him, and those wonderful arms of love around my soul. You know about that? That's what He's talking about here. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, if you don't know about that, the best thing to do is just to spend a little time with God. First of all, make sure your heart is right with Him. You see, when I was in some kind of mischief as a little boy, I was afraid not of my father's loving arms, but of his spanking hand. He had a hard hand, and sometimes he enforced it with a long 18-inch walnut ruler that he had gotten from somewhere. Ooh, that smarted. Oh, I can still remember it. And when I was doing something wrong, I wasn't waiting for his hug. I was fearfully anticipating a spanking, many of which I deserved, I'll tell you that. But then when things were right, oh, then the joy of being unafraid, nestled in those fatherly arms. So the first thing is to make sure your heart is right, and then just wait before Him, and by faith open your heart to Him, and depend upon the fact that if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. That's what He says. You pour out your love to Him, and you'll find Him answering with the warmth of an eternal love, that fires of which can never be quenched, and you'll be delighted. Dear Father, today, oh, put Your arms of love around us and hold us fast. In Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7246. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.